blessed. It just feels good to say it. People love the idea, and most hope to attain it. Some pray for it. Others desire it for their marriage, family, business. Yeah, even when I'm at Panera. Blessed. It's a term we talk about at church, see on social media, yet it doesn't seem to find everyone. What does it mean to be blessed? How can we live a blessed life? Hashtag blessed.
Morning, body. How are you doing this morning? Awesome. It is so good to be with you this morning. It's so good. Before I start, I'd like to share a scripture with you. If you want to look up in the screen or look in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says this, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 25. I just can't tell you how good it's to be here and to worship together. It just does my soul so much good. Just over a week ago, on March 28th, it was 2 years since our friend, worship leader, elder, and pastor, Al Rockman, went to be with Jesus. I miss him so much, but can I say something? I think he'd be so proud this morning seeing people entering in and worshiping Jesus. Amen? It's just so good to see people coming together. And there's just, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, praise God. I mean, it's so good. Let me tell you, I don't know. I don't get to come all the time, and I look and like, who is the new girl worshiping? You know, like, did you hear these people this morning? Man, give the worship. They got to come early. Like, I got here at 7 this morning. They were already practicing. God help them. All right? But it's just so good. There's something about corporate worship. When the church sits together as a community and worship Jesus, there's just something special about that. I try to be in the Word every day, and I worship daily with Pandora. I really do, and I'm in a small group, and I have accountability men in my life, and I understand one-on-one discipleship, but there is something vital that happens on Sunday morning. There's something special that happens here. And let me just say this. I know life is busy. Matter of fact, the national average, less than 40% of Christians go weekly to church. I know that, all right? And I'm actually worse. I have not been here for the last 5 weeks because of ministry, my ministry travel schedule. But we need each other. We need to stay connected. So would you please not listen to the lie that's sweeping across the country right now that says that church isn't important, that coming together and community isn't important? It's vital, amen? It's vital. Now, it's not the whole. It's just a part. But it's vital. When we worship together as a community, when we sit under the preaching of God's word, because I couldn't be here the last 5 weeks, you know, I went online and I listened to this whole series. Can I just say, wow? Yeah. Man, I've been ministered to. I've been challenged. I've been edified. I've been taught in the Word of God. And I just want to say to the teaching team, to Joel, to Stephen, to Mitch, I want to say this loud and clear. My brother Bill, Pastor Bill, would be proud to hear the teaching that's been coming from this pulpit. He'd be proud. The word of God is being preached here, and God is being glorified. All right, let's get back to the series. That didn't count in my time. All right, just a little review. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed, say that. The upside down kingdom. I just love that. Upside down kingdom. How many know that this world on its own is upside down and that God sets it right? But, you know, it could be, okay, nice little title for this, you know, the series. But where do you get in that scripture? It's in the Word. Look at Acts chapter 17 with me. Acts 17, 6. The second part says this. These are the people who have turned the world upside down. And they've come here too. That's kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. We call it wow, right? Those wow moments. You have those wow moments in your life? I hope so. Like when Peter walked on water. See what I did there? Walk on. The wow moments, right? Those it took you a while. All right. Those wow moments when we just see it and we know that. But you know what? Sometimes when we have those wow moments, those mountaintop, then we think it's all about those mountaintops, and we think it's about the big Christian artist or the big Christian speaker who has a new book out, or this person. But if it's really upside down, turn the word wow upside down. What does it say? Mom. See, the kingdom of God is not just on, it's important, but it's not just here. The kingdom of God is every day. It's mom, it's dad, it's brother, it's sister, it's friends, it's work, it's school, it's everything we do. And Joel redefined blessed. He did so good in that first week to just say, what is it? This is what Joel redefined blessed as. Anything God gives you to be satisfied in him alone. Amen? That is a definition I want to use. And I love how this fits into our preaching initiative. And I'm so thankful for the SLT, that's a senior leadership team, and the elders here that said that this next series, the I Am series in this one, it's about what are they hoping for? What do we want as a church? To know Jesus, not just know about him. To know Jesus, not just more facts. To know him, to encounter him. So let me make it clear. To know Jesus equals hashtag blessed. Matter of fact, say that with me. To know equals, amen? All right, let's keep going. All right, I love this Sermon on the Mount. It's one of my favorites, especially the Beatitudes. And I loved how the teaching team has done so good. They showed, did you see how they build upon each other? Almost like a ladder. I mean, it's just amazing. So I just want to highlight what they went through. The first week, Joel took on, blessed are the poor in spirit. And what did he say? He said, this is where we have nothing to come to God with. Nothing. That we have to come and say, I need you. Right? So blessed are the poor. I don't have anything without you. I'm bankrupt without you. He did such a great job. And then Stephen came and said, the word of God says, blessed are those who mourn. And Stephen did such a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And he was so vulnerable. And I could just picture him. My heart just breaks when he was with his friend around that bed that had just lost their child. And he was so real about mourning is what? This is not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? The world's not the way it's supposed to be. But then he brought us a step further to say, I'm not the way I'm supposed to be. And what is the result of that? That we say, we're sorry. I'm sorry. That's what? That's repentance. Please hear me. Repentance is a gift that we mourn. But then we come and it says, the next week, Joel came back and said, blessed are the meek. And from that, we learned that Joel is afraid of petting zoos and little ponies. Sorry, dude. No, it was his daughter's not, but he is. All right. But blessed are the meek. And he did such a good job to show us that meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. Meekness is not, but strength under control. And that we can't do it. So what do we have to come to? I give you control. I give you control. And then Stephen came back and said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is kale? Swiss rolls? Yeah. All right. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he came up with that, I want what you want. How many of you don't want for the right things? You know where I came away from that message? I want to want what you want. Anybody else? I want to do what's right. I mean, I'm so busy, but I always find time for sin. You hear me? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. To come to say, I want what you want. And then Mitch came and topped off this series so well to say, blessed are the merciful. And he said what that meant is to be full of mercy. but not just for a storehouse to hold it in, but to be filled with mercy so we can give mercy even to that person who's hurt us so much and we feel like we have a right not to give them mercy. Okay, let's dive in. So we go to my scripture now, Matthew 5, 8, and 9. So if you're timing me, now I'm just starting. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let's look at the word heart to start with. A biblical definition of heart would be this: your mind, your character, your inner self, what's really there, your center, your intentions, your motives, your core. Now let's look at the word pure. Definition would be clean, unstained, guiltless, innocent, upright, free from corruption, perfect. How are you doing measuring up? Right? Or as they say in the East Coast, how are you doing? How are you doing? Anyone here pure enough to see God on your own? Anybody want to take a stand and say, I am pure enough, I deserve to see God based on my purity? Anybody? Okay, you know what? I failed at being pure just in preparing this message. Yeah, I was mad at Joel. He gave me two Beatitudes to do. And he said, don't preach over 30 minutes. All the other guys just had to do one. And Mitch, he preached 37 minutes. And 43 seconds. You know what, though? I start whining, and I broke my own rule. See, my wife, Carol, and I now have 11 grandchildren. And we got a rule. No whining at Grandpa's house. No whining. And here I was breaking my own rule. Last week, my daughter, Danielle, Carol's daughter, too, went on vacation with her husband, Isaiah. So we got to have four. How many kids they have? Four. We had four kids for 5 days last week. It was so great to have them over with. No, it's tiring. That's what happens when you're young. Wow. Anyways, all right. But we had them over, and I had to go get gas, and trying to be a good grandpa, I thought I'll take two of them along. So I took Harmony, who's four, and Kinsley, who's two. So, you know, they're young, so they're still pure in heart. And I got them in the car. Well, actually, I was driving in style again, back to a minivan. And those car seats. Really? You have to have a master's degree just to hook the car seats in. I'm like, the old days, get in the back of the wagon. But I got them in, and Harmony's in the back, and in the furthest back, and then Kinsley was here, and I was driving, and Harmony says, hey, Papa, I found some fruit snacks. Can I have them? And I'm like, sure. Your mom's not here. Grandpa. And then Kinsley wanted some. And being pure in heart, Harmony said, I'm sorry, Kinsley, I can't reach you. I guess I have to eat all of them. So I say, that's okay. I'll get some more for Kinsley at the gas station. So I get there and I got some and I opened them up, got some gas, and I gave some to Kinsley. And Harmony had finished hers. And she looked at me. She has big, brown, pure eyes. And she says, Papa, can I have some more? And I'm like, sure. And I give her some more. And then Kinsley had eaten what I gave her, so I gave her some more. And then Harmony says, why does she get more? I'm like, Harmony, you just had a whole bag. You actually had more. And she starts pouting and whining and throwing a fit. And I said, no whining at Grandpa's or in the minivan. Right? You should be grateful. You had more. And I got in the car and I start driving, and she continues. And I said, if you don't stop right now, I'm going to stop this car, and I'm going to take the ones you have. away from you. To which she responds by throwing the rest in her mouth, starts chewing them, and gives me this look like, no, you're not. And then her face said, ha ha. So again, I ask you, how are you doing? Hashtag blessed. She's about to see God face to face. Let me tell you, there's not even a chance I would see God based on my own purity. How about you? I didn't even mention jealousy or envy. I touched a little bit on control, but how about bitterness, unforgiveness, and guilt? So again, are you pure enough? Let's take a look at the word peacemaker. Peacemaker, a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. How are you doing at being a peacemaker? Let's look at the world. Did you know that there are 10 official wars going on right now? And 8 active military conflicts recognized by the United States? 4 of these conflicts have casualties, death of over 10,000 per year. And would call this almost a time of peace, right? And then there's also other violent conflicts around the world involving 64 countries and 576 militias or separatist groups. See, I think a lot of people thought that the music of the 60s would bring around peace, Woodstock. I hesitate using this song because it is so popular and it's loved by so many, and I love this song, and I saw on the internet today, the Beatles, almost as famous as Jesus. But here's just a short clip. Listen to it with me. They're not the only ones. Matter of fact, watch this from the clip. That was in the 60s. Watch this, a clip from Miss Congeniality, year 2000. Watch this.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Congeniality actually means this. Someone with the gift of getting along with people. But I wonder if it's just a pipe dream. Because you know how they said we had to do it? Imagine there's no heaven. Never. Never. It's the only hope I have. That one day every tear is going to be wiped away. That there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That one day everything's going to be just and right. The way it's supposed to be. The way it's meant to be. No. And if that's just world peace, then look at our country. More divided than we've ever been. Look at our communities. Look at our marriages. Look at the lack of peace in our own hearts. How are you doing being a peacemaker? See, the problem is real peacemakers deal with what separates us. They don't just ignore it. They're not peacekeepers that try to keep the peace. They deal with what separates us. And the teaching team made it so clear what separates us from God, what separates us from one another, sin. So if you don't deal with the conflict, you don't deal with the problem, it's not. You know what the else they wanted to do? Imagine there's no hell. It's easy if you try. But it's a lie. It's a lie. The word of God is still true. But Jesus, our peace, it says this in Ephesians 2:14. He is our peace who has broken down every wall. How? Let's look to the word. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 10. Let's look at this together. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still, say the word, Christ died for the. Very rarely anyone would die for a righteous person, and the teaching team showed us. None righteous, no, not one. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For while we were God's, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I don't know if you looked at those words, but this is what it said. While we were still powerless, ungodly sinners who were his enemies, that's when he died for us. That's a peacemaker. Because the word of God says what? No greater love can a person have than to lay down his life for who? A friend. A friend. I am so committed myself instead of peace. If I'm honest, I don't know if I'd lay down my life for my best friend. Are you hearing me? He did it for his enemies. I got one more bone to pick with Joel. That meekness sermon, the key is submission. He said, we may not like his application. He said, you might hate it. I hated it. I think it was unbiblical. He said, we need to submit to your spouse for a whole day within reason. Rot? Where's that in the Bible? You know what? The reason I hated it, it showed me how committed I was to self instead of peace. Maybe that's why we're not the first one to say I'm sorry. Maybe that's why we'll look at other people and judge and not look at our own sin. There's only one Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, he shall be called the Prince of Peace. That's his name. There's only one perfect peacemaker, and the promise was the peacemakers should be called children of God. Instead, you know what they called him? A son of Beelzebub. They said that he was possessed by a demon. They said he was a glutton and a drunkard. So the only one who was the real peacemaker wasn't called a child of God by those around him. Do you see that? The only peacemaker was not called a child of God so that us who are committed to ourselves could be called children of God. Go back to the pure one. He was the only one pure enough. He never sinned. He was clean, unstained, guiltless, innocent, upright, free from corruption, spotless lamb, no guilt, no shame, pure, righteous, holy, the perfect one. But in his darkest moment, when he was hurting, betrayed, when people denied they knew him, rejected by friends, beat down, you ever been there? Alone, all his friends scattered. Remember Mitch saying, I got a reason to not forgive? Remember, you feel justified? When he was mocked, made fun of, when he was bullied, when he was abused, when he was whipped, when he was spit on. Hashtag blessed. But he stayed pure. So maybe in the darkest moment, right, the Father would still be there for him. You know what? Tim Keller said this. The only one who was pure enough in heart to see God didn't see God in his deepest need. When he needed him most. Watch this video from the Passion of Christ, and I just want to warn you, if you have young kids, this is pretty graphic. I just want to make sure. But when he needed the Father the most, watch what happened.
Eli! Eli! animals ever done to you.
My God, why have you forsaken me? The only one that was pure enough in heart to see God, didn't see God in his deepest need. The Father turned his head away. That should have been me. That's what I deserved. That should have been you. That's what we deserve. That wasn't fair. He did nothing wrong. But please hear this loud and clear. He got what we deserved so that we could get what he deserved. You see, Jesus didn't just come and say, this is a new way to live. Like, did you know there's 613 Levitical laws? 365 thou shalt not, and then the positive ones. If Jesus was just saying, here's how to live, and you have to live this way in order to be blessed, then guess what? Then it's just another works-based system. Then it's just another religion. How many of you are sick and tired of religion and rules? That's not what Jesus said. You see, we got to read these Beatitudes right because we got to turn it upside down. If you don't read this right, you will see Jesus in the wrong way. You got to turn it upside down. If you don't, you'll see Jesus as just a moral teacher and just more code of ethics. Is Jesus a moral teacher? Yes, the greatest of all times. But was that just it? No. If that's all it was, then guess what? Then it's just more pressure. Then it's just, Kurt, try harder. Go a little more. Do a little better. More rules, more regulations, more guilt, more shame. And if you make it, more arrogance, more Pharisees. But you know what? The cross didn't say more pressure. Guess what the cross said? The cross said, the empty tomb says, the pressure is off. Anybody want that? It says the pressure is off. There's freedom. There's freedom. You know what that's called? Grace. Grace. I want it big. Say grace. How many are appreciative of grace? Come on, people. How many are appreciative of grace? Now, because we're good Christians and a lot of us served a long time, here's what the phrase is. Chris, here's what we're afraid of. What about cheap grace? Are you just talking about cheap grace again? What about following Jesus? What about discipleship? No, Christians, you're thinking, Bob's here, he's talking to the non-Christians again. No, I'm talking to us, following for a long time. Look at this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all right? Here's what it says. It's up on the screen. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace to me was not without, say the next word. Say it louder. It's not without effect. Look at, no, I worked harder than all of them. But look what he said. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me. See, grace doesn't say you don't have to try anymore. Grace doesn't say it doesn't matter how you live. Grace doesn't say, hey, get off the hook free. And we're afraid to give grace to others. Like Mitch said, we're letting them off the hook. But you know what? You know what Mitch said? You're never supposed to put them on the hook for the first on the first place. But grace says what? No, we'll work harder. But Kurt, not by our own effort, but by the resurrected Jesus inside of us. Now we have grace to work for us. Go to Corinthians. Nope, that's good too. But go to Galatians chapter 3. I'm running out of time. Let's go. Here we go. Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes was clearly portrayed as crucified Jesus Christ, right? You saw the cross. I'd like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, become a Christian? Did you become a Christian by hearing with faith or by the works of the law? By trying hard. In my book, Paul goes, duh, right? Did anybody here become a Christian by trying hard? Right? Then it says this. Go ahead. Are you so foolish after beginning by the means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to be perfected, finished by the means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again I ask you, did God give you the Spirit and works of miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? In other words, don't backslide to good works. go to grace. The same grace that came to us is a grace that's going to bring us further. If not, you know what we have? We have a crossless Christianity. We have a crossless Christianity. Let me tell you, that's what's being preached today across the country. But Matthew 5, 8, and 9, look at this verse again without the cross in the back. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. If it's you have to do these in order too, if it's just works-based, if it's just another religion, then let's not come to church anymore. Just join a civic group. Now, we should be in civic groups anyways to make a difference. But don't be in church. It's not about the cross. Just go and join a group and try to make a difference in the world. But guess what changes life? The cross is what changes life. Say amen? That's what we got to go back to. You see, if not, then we just, it's void of the gospel. It's void of the gospel. But with the cross, we'll have changed lives. Let me show you a picture in closing here. Here's a picture of a friend of mine. On your right, that's Don Webb. He's one of the first elders of this church when we were still meeting in the cemetery. I was just down in North Carolina, got to get together with him. We were doing a quake down there, a retreat for junior high students. And he brought his son, Aaron, along. Girls, let me tell you, Aaron is sharp looking, as you can see, young man. He's athletic. He's in shape. He's really intellectual. Just a great guy. Plus, girls, he's single. But 3 years ago, talk to me afterwards, I'll get you his number. But 3 years ago, he went blind. And I looked at him and I said, man, I'm devastated for you. I'm so sorry. In his words, he said, don't feel sorry for me. It's all perspective. He said, I'm blessed. What? He said, see this up on the screen. God didn't do this to me. He did this for me. He said, you see the road I was on? I might not even be alive today. And he said, I would rather be blind and know Jesus than have my sight and not know Jesus. That's an upside down kingdom. But remember what Joel preached. Anything, blessed is anything God gives us to be satisfied in Him alone. There's people here today, because you're going through a hard time, you think God doesn't care. You think you're not blessed. You envy somebody else's life. You go on the internet and you say, I want that life. And you miss the intimacy that God has for you. God wants you to know Him. Is that life? God is most glorified when I'm most satisfied in Him. John Piper, that's what He's calling us to. He wants you to know Him. Aaron said this, He took away my sight, but God has given me a vision for life. I want a vision for life. I want a vision for this church to continue to go on. That's what God's calling us to do. Now let's take a look in closing for the second time. Let's look at peacemakers. Did you know this? Nobel Peace Prize winners? I can't believe this. Only 3.6% of Nobel Peace Prize winners since 1901 to 2000 call themselves atheists or agnostics. Somehow, isn't it funny that the peacemakers of this world are people of faith? They call themselves children of God. You know what? Do you know any peacemakers? I mean, for real in this world? I do. It's actually a current elder here at church, Joe Lamb. He works a lot with our Reach department, our mission department, Reach. He leads a lot of our mission trips. And he gives up a lot of his vacation time to volunteer around the world with Samaritan's Purse. But in 2017, he was asked to go to Iraq, a place he had no interest in going. But he obeyed God to bring peace and healing and hope to this troubled part of the world. He told me how ISIS would put bombs in kids' toys. And then when they're playing with it, it exploded, they'd lose an arm or a leg. And he got to be there and to mend them and to love on them. But he's seen the pain of war, and he had a whole kids in his arms as they would have died. And one woman came in, and her face was covered with stitches, and one eye was swollen shut. And she had stitches all over her face and blood, dried blood, covering her lips. All the scars left by the brutality of ISIS. And she asked the nurse that was there, "Am I still beautiful?" And Joel's friend, this nurse, looked and said, "Without a doubt in my soul, I saw the beauty. I saw past the bruises, the blood and the stitches, and I saw a daughter of the king. I saw a woman made in the image of God. And this is what I want you to hear." She said, I caught a glimpse of how Jesus sees us. No matter what you've been through and how you've been beaten down, no matter what from others, or from your own mistakes, that's how Jesus sees you. And Joe was a part of bringing that beauty and that peace in the midst of the hell of war. But this next part, Joe, I don't think I could have done. Because he's treating the kids, the victims here, and he has to walk into the next tent where the ISIS soldiers are. And they're injured. And he has to go and care and help heal them. What? No! No! What do you want to do to them? Right? Look what they just did. He said, "I walked in and I expected to see men with demons in their eyes and in madness. And instead," he said, "I saw men begging for love, the love of Christ, and laying there hurting and suffering." He said, "When I was spending time on this secured ISIS ward, he overheard two of them men, ISIS men, talking, saying, 'What religion are these people? Why are they helping us? Why are we fighting? It's irreconcilable to treat ISIS in this room. Then I have to walk back and treat those victims of this horrific, horrific actions.'" And Joe said these words, "Only the love of Christ allows us to reconcile these two things." Reconcile. Joe's one of my heroes. He's a peacemaker. That's not why he gets to be called the Son of God. He gets to be called the Son of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. But it's changed his life. And he's a doctor, but instead of living for self, he's living for the kingdom. That's upside down. I want to be upside down. And that's what I want for you. Go to the Welcome Center or come up to me. I have what Joe wrote about his time there. Go grab one. Get the whole story. It's amazing. It's changed my life. But what about you? Application time, right? I'm done with my message. This is just prayer if you're timing. Did you ever buy something at the store and just leave it there? On accident. But you want what you paid for, right? What did Jesus pay for us? He wants what he paid for. He wants what he's paid for. He wants you. Not just to memorize another verse. Not just to know more about him. He wants to touch you. If you're here this morning and you understand for the first time that Jesus got what you deserved on that cross, so that we can get what he deserved. If you can say, I can't come to God on my own. I'm not pure enough. I don't deserve eternal life. On my own, I can't come to God. But I want that peace in my heart, in my home, in the world. But the only thing that's real peace is not in a song. It's not a dream. It's not an imagination. The only peace is in a person whose name is Jesus. And it starts right at the beginning of the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, I don't have what it takes. I can't save myself. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? If you're here this morning and you say, I want to know Jesus, not just know about him. I want to spend eternity that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if you're not 100% sure that when you die, you'd spend eternity with God, you can't earn it. It's not by trying more. It's not by more pressure, more rules. It's by receiving a gift. It's called grace, getting what he deserved. If that's you this morning, you say, Bob, I want to just know God, not just about him. I want to be a follower of Jesus for my life. Would you raise your hand right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Anybody else? Thank you. You say, I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Anybody else? Yeah, I can on my own. I need you. Raise your, yeah, all over, way in the back. Men, women, children. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Thank you. Now, for every pastor here today, for every church leader, for every church elder, for everyone on staff, for every Sunday school teacher, for every small group leader, for every person who calls yourself a follower of Jesus, for every man, for every woman, for every child, every teenager, we need a touch of God. And we need God to touch our church. We need an encounter with him, a living God. You might be going through a hard time and you feel like God doesn't love you as much as somebody else. This guy lost his sight and he knows that God loves him. As a church, we've been attacked and we're hurting, but we are more than conquerors through the cross. Let's confess that we as a church can't do it on our own. Let's stop. We don't have the power. Let's come back to grace. Let's admit we're not pure enough. Let's repent of our sins. It's a gift. Let's go forward. And you think, I can't be used as a peacemaker. I can't be like Joe. I got too much revenge. God wants you. Maybe to go on a mission trip. Maybe to volunteer in Sun Harbor. Maybe to be in the youth ministry. We really need a youth ministry right now. Maybe to forgive people. To go back to your wife. To believe that every person has a purpose. To believe you're being called right now. I believe, and I don't want to manipulate, but I believe every single person in here that you call yourself a believer, God is calling and says, I want to go deeper. Will you go deeper? I want to lead my family to Jesus. I want my kids and my grandkids to follow you. As this next song is being played, if that's you right now, would you raise your hand and say, I want to come back. I want a fresh touch of God. If that's you, elders, pastors, teachers, adults, kids, raise your hand right now and say, I want to go deeper with God. I want to turn back to grace. I want to do it by his power to go right back where these Beatitudes start. I need you. I am broken. I've been a Christian for 35 years, but I'm just as bankrupt without Jesus. Anybody else? Just raise your hand right now. Let's say, I want to be the man of my house. I want to be the woman of my house. I want to be the God, the person God wants me to be. I want to be the teenager that's not ashamed of my faith. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Amen. Would you stand with me? All of us stand. And as we play this song, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be uncomfortable. There was literally hundreds of hands just now. And I know this may be uncomfortable, but let's make a sign together. Let's make a declaration of being who God called us to be, not this world. Our mistakes can't define us. The attack shouldn't define us. The word of God, the cross and the empty tomb will define us. So if you raise your hand to come to faith today, I'm gonna ask you during this next song to be courageous. Oh, they might be embarrassed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. There's no fear here. It's time to come. If you raise your hand as a pastor, as a teacher, as a man or a woman, I'm asking you to come and fill this place today as this song. If you raise your hand for anything today, I'm gonna ask you to do something. I know we're not accustomed to this, but I'm asking you to step out and come down and let's worship as a community today. Are we doing that? We really wanna come, I need you. Let's sing this song. And as they sing, if you raise your hand for any one of those, please come. There'll be pastors down here and they'll pray for you if you want, but they may need your prayers as well. So come as we sing.